There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Y'all Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
News came today that the chief financial officer of Huawei, a large Chinese tech firm, was arrested in Canada and was facing extradition to the United States. But she was actually detained on December 1st while switching planes in Vancouver. China's officials demanded her release, saying her human rights were violated because she wasn't told what the charges are. The company was being probed by the feds for violating U.S. sanctions on Iran. A few weeks ago, in a talk given in China, she defended the company for being temporarily out of compliance with other countries' requirements. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
Okay, so many things as we start off Midday Mobile on this Thursday. I guess my first question is, was somebody out of China worried about their human rights in Canada? Were they challenging Canadian system for human rights defense versus Chinese? I don't know. Okay, so that is the latest on top of the big stack of news that at least those pointy heads up there say has caused a really big sell-off. Now, it's been a bad week in the markets. Of course, the discussion of is it all about this trade deal or the lack thereof between the United States and China? I would point out, like I did on Monday and Tuesday, that President Trump said they had a good meeting, Xi Jinping, and we got this deal and all that. But honest to goodness, I mean, nothing had been signed off on. Congress still would have to vote on it. And the Chinese hadn't even processed it. So if you're telling me Wall Street, the bulls came out on Monday and ran up buying stocks on Monday based on that, then the people at Wall Street are fools, which they do foolish things, but I don't think they're fools. So then all of a sudden on Tuesday, they go, oh, well, we don't have confidence in the trade deal with the United States and China. And then the bloodbath started this week. I don't know. You can look at that and say maybe that's the way to put a hood ornament on this, but there's a whole bunch else out there that may be driving the markets down. Markets were trading lower on Tuesday. And then, of course, yesterday, they were all... This is the weird thing, too. I wondered how this would work. You know, the markets were closed here in the United States yesterday with the National Day of Mourning, in honor of 41, H.W. Bush. So the markets were closed, but they had pent-up negativity in Tuesday. They didn't get to trade yesterday, and they hit the bricks this morning selling. And right now, just to give you some real numbers on this, as we watch it, let's see what the latest refresh here. You know, I'm trying not to refresh it so much. It's kind of depressing when I refresh it here. It's been down worse than that today, down 518 on the Dow, down 46 on the S&P, down 56 on the NASDAQ. But 400 points, you know, and now they're saying that story right there that I just played, this Huawei exec being detained and transferred to the U.S., listen, you're telling me that's the thing that will derail the whole tariff negotiation with the Chinese? I just, once again, like so many times, I think we're getting part of the information, not getting all the information, but I can give you this 100% of the information that it's a bad day. It's a bad day. A lot of selling going on Wall Street. So we'll keep an eye on this throughout the show. Maybe get some of our experts on the show in a little bit to talk about what they see happening here. Also on the way on today's show, my buddy James Patterson, consumer law attorney, is going to join us. Something to talk about. I kind of started thinking about this a little bit more this morning as well. We were having a conversation, in the 8 o'clock hour, having a conversation with Rob Holbert. And got in a conversation. In that case, we're talking about cell phones and having your telemarketers go to cell phone. Remember back when you made the move, you said, well, I'm going to be done with this landline. We don't need a landline. I think we said that in our house 10, 12, 13 years ago. Got rid of a landline. And then you said, the other good thing about this is we won't have to deal with having telemarketers call.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go look at your... go look at your index of calls on your smartphone, on your cell phone. How many telemarketers have you had call? They're not supposed to be doing that, but we'll talk a little bit about that law. And also this question here about the Marriott breach. Now, you heard a little bit about it, but so many people involved in this data breach from Marriott. And plus, if we get a chance with James, we'll want to circle back around to the Equifax breach, what we were talking about last year, and what has been done and what has come out of that in the last year. Remember, they're going to put in some tough legislation to crank down on these people that are playing willy-nilly with your data. Well, we'll see how that's gone as well. So that's coming up on today's program. Plus, a reminder here, and hopefully Brian from Fairhope Brewing Company will join us a little bit to talk about the 12 Bartenders at Christmas event, the Charity Bartender Series. I can tell you this specifically for us, us being Dalton and Kelly and myself. We will be out at Fairhope Brewing Company starting at 5, and we'll be pouring beers. And as you come out and enjoy a beer, but make the tips big, because the tip jar is there, 100% of the tips. We did this last year, doing it the same way this year. 100% of the tips go to Wilmer Hall. So this deal is, you come out, you enjoy your beer, and then tip graciously, handsomely, profusely. Tip like there's no tomorrow. Tip, because all that money, 100%, goes to Wilmer Hall. And there's different events coming up and different charities that'll be featured. But tonight, it's us. It's the Mobile Mornings crew. It starts at 5 at Fairhope Brewing Company on Nichols. They're in Fairhope. And we go, I think, till 7, right, Dalton? Yeah, I think we're 5 to 7. So we're slinging your beers then. So please come by. We'll have some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. Love to visit with you there in Fairhope. And like I said, 100% of the proceeds go to Wilmer Hall. So that's good news. All right, we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, some state news in a national angle. As you've heard, the senators that have spoken, Republican senators that were finally debriefed by Gina Haspel from the CIA, and they are not on board with moving forward with helping Saudi Arabia. One of those senators that's been vocal over the last couple days is Alabama's Richard Shelby. So we'll get into that coming up in just a few. All right, check in with news. Also, we'll get an update from Dr. Bill. Rain on the way for Saturday, and it looks like we have another cool night tonight. He'll give us details coming up at 12:35. Be right back. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. All right, 12:18, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Let me add this to the list Bill Riles just had of closures or things that have moved, not closures, but moved or changed schedules for Christmas events. Got this note here from Laura Byrne over at the City of Mobile. Says, Saturday, December 8th, due to the weather forecast, the little train that could will be moving folks inside the Civic Center Auditorium for the annual holiday market and Christmas Kids Day. From 10 to 2, Holiday Market will have many of the wonderful vendors you've come to know and love from Market on the Square, located in the adjacent halls. There will be a family photo booth to do pictures. Oh, come on, Laura. How about do it? Say it like, get your picture made. Come by, get your picture made. It will be free of charge. Christmas Kids Day is full of free activities for the kids. Kids karaoke, story time, inflatable obstacle course. It's a lot like it is in the... And the pool rafts are around a pool, the inflatable obstacle course. Also, inflatable slide, letters to Santa, balloon class, all the good stuff, all the kid stuff. This is going on not outside, but inside at the Civic Center and on Saturday, starting at 10 and going until 2. So that schedule change, we'll probably get quite a few more, as it looks like a pretty good soaker for Saturday. But like I said, we'll find out more from Dr. Bill at around 12:35. Also, you heard the story. It's breaking today, and we can link through. Don't we? We put that. Well, I'll link it through on the. I'll link it through on my Twitter feed as well. Story from our news partners at WKRG. They just reported that Bill did the breaking news story with 28 priests, deacons in the Mobile Archdiocese accused of child sexual abuse. This is a story. Just about 30 minutes old right now as we get started with the show. It says, and they have the list. You can go on there and see. You want to see the names of, but like you said, you have people that have been long since dead. People that more recently, as late as 2012, have been involved in the Archdiocese. So go on there and look. It says 28 priests. The story here, as reads from our news partner, says 28 priests and deacons have been, quote, credibly abused of sexual misconduct with a child since 1950. That's according to two lists released today by the Archdiocese of Mobile. 11 of the men were directly assigned to the Archdiocese. The others did work within the Archdiocese. Archdiocese covers lower 28 counties in Alabama. The other 17 priests and deacons belong to religious orders and served the Archdiocese but weren't assigned to the area. Some of the accused are dead. 16 are dead. 12 are listed as prohibited from ministry within Archdiocese, end quote. Press release from the Archdiocese, however, does not say if they are allowed to the ministry elsewhere or what other punishment, such as criminal charges, they may have faced. Also, some of the accusations happened within the Archdiocese while others were outside. And we'll give you more on the story, but that list is up. And if you want to go through the names here, those are online right now. All right. And also want to get to the market story here. I mean, this is, I started with this because it's a big story. Even if you don't trade, that's one of the things people say, man, you know, you're talking about this. I don't trade stocks. If you got any kind of retirement, you may not be actively managing it, but it's important. And the frustration is, when I watch this, is the gap between. Meaning, we've had so many stories just this week, and I'm sure if I just opened up the phone lines and said 343-0106, tell me about how the economy is doing for you. The majority, now there's always still folks, I don't have blinders on, there's still some folks it's not doing good for, but there's a lot of people out there that says, man, you know, you compare what I'm doing right now in business to what I was doing, 2 years ago, man, it's night and day. So with Main Street doing pretty good economically, you look at Wall Street, they ran up so quickly, and now they're bailing. It's, like anything, and the pendulum swings at all things out there. But you see it in the market. It runs up beyond what it should be, and then it corrects, right? This has happened forever. This is the system. I mean, if you look at the markets long term, you see the upward angle and growth. I mean, think about this. I mean, think about, we're talking about a market that valuations over 24,000 even now. It was 25,000, by the way, yesterday or Tuesday when it closed. That's a weird thing, too. Having the Wednesday off, I think, might have made this worse because of the National Day of Mourning. Remember, the markets were closed yesterday. But still, the total market is way bigger than it has ever been, although that's cliched. I'll say this. It's grown at a faster rate than in my lifetime. Over the last 3 or 4 years, last 2 years, it's grown at a faster clip for the period of time than it has any other time in my lifetime. So you still have the valuation of the market being high, but it is, I mean, it's losing. I mean, you can't argue with that. But if you look at this, you go, are the fundamentals? I mean, the simple stuff I look at, and I know they're looking at different metrics here, and a lot of people blaming this on the president, I'm a tariff man tweet. If you're telling me Wall Street's that simplistic, okay, let's analyze that for a second, right? Because there's a bunch of people, and they got the Huawei CFO arrested. I don't know if that's just window dressing as well. I don't think arresting a CFO of a Chinese company, extraditing from China to the United States, is enough to bring a coming of the bears onto the stock market and the big sell-off going on. But let's go back to the first thing. We're told that the tariffs are the issue. And, you've listened to past shows, and I think we have a great group of people here to debate it. There's a lot of people that, friends of mine, that will join us that are really fans of tariffs. Jeff Poore will defend them. Brendan Kirby will defend them. I'm not crazy about tariffs. I understand what's trying to be accomplished, but not crazy about them. I do like the idea, like Kudlow said, I would, be a no-tariff person, and that would apply to everybody out there, if you could even the playing field. Which, by the way, you never will be, even with zero tariffs, you'll never be able to even the playing field between second-world, third-world countries and first-world countries. It just doesn't happen. But if they're saying that Donald Trump, President Donald Trump's tweet that he's a tariffs man is what caused the sell-off that started on Tuesday, that was paused yesterday for the National Day of Mourning, that picked back up this morning, in a big way with the sell-off. Am I to believe that the pointy heads had no idea that Donald Trump was pro-tariff before his tweet? I mean, when you break things down, you diagram the sentence like you're in English class way back and say, was it his tweet? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe the idea that back in 2016 when he's campaigning on through election and on through his presidency, he's been hot and heavy on the tariffs. So for Wall Street to say President Trump's tweet from Tuesday where he says he's a tariffs man is why the selling began, question is, what is a foot? Well, grab a few calls here. And yeah, that's one of the things. I see a bunch of texts coming in here about how you're doing on Main Street versus Wall Street. And that's one of the things that disconnect, you know, or is it a delay? That's another question. Is it a disconnect or is it a delay? In other words, Main Street, you know, all of us, not all of us, because I absolutely, you would have blinders on if you don't think there's exceptions, but the majority of folks are doing better now. Economy's doing better. If they own their business, a lot of them are doing better. If they're working for somebody, they've had a raise, they've had bonuses, they've had things improve their financial standing. So Main Street seems to be on one footing, and then you look to Wall Street, and it's something completely different. Look at the close for Black Friday. Look at Cyber Monday. We are running to buy trinkets and gadgets and who's he wants it at a record pace. American economy, you know, obviously based on a lot of us buying a lot of things. But then this happens. Let's go to the phones, and Paul in Mobile is first up. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Sean. Look, you're trying to apply logic, and it just doesn't work.
I keep trying to fit that square peg through the round hole.
Yeah. Listen, there's a guy, his name is Daniel Kahneman. He won the Nobel Prize in 2002. Him and this guy Tversky, they were two psychologists from Israel, and they won the Nobel Prize in economics for pointing out that people don't act rationally when it comes to their money.
Yeah, he was doing something like decision making.
Like, to go and look on YouTube, type in Daniel Kahneman.
I'm familiar.
I'm familiar. His presentation.
I'm familiar with some of what Kahneman's done and this idea that human decision making, and he's talked about if I'm remembering off the top of my head, they could choose A or B in this test, and even though B is the right choice for them, they choose A based on something to that effect, right? I mean, he did this.
That's part of it. Yeah. Part of it is the behavior of your brain and how they work. But I mean, when the market tariffs are just bad news, everybody loses. Eventually, the person who loses the least will decide that they're the winner, and that will be the only way that we come out of this. And you act like the president's just some normal guy.
Help me here,
because you're not a rational person.
Okay, but I need your reaction.
The economy, Paul, doesn't know much about the world.
Doesn't know much about the economy. The guy's been, I think, as presidents have gone, is better versed in the world of business and the economy than anybody. It seems like he's way more interested in that.
He's versed in trying to be a bully and how to extort people.
I may agree with you.
Project. That's what the Chinese are saying. We don't want to be bullied.
Oh, come on, Paul. The Chinese don't want to be bullied. The Chinese are the biggest bully on the block. But I want your opinion on this. Do you think that there was any big reveal or surprise when President Trump tweeted on Tuesday that he was a tariffs man? For the market to say, oh, at that point we figured out he was a tariffs man, and that at that point we are going to, we're going to let it all flush down. I mean, come on. He's been talking tariffs forever.
It emphasizes and reminds people of what a
baloney,
poor baloney president he is.
I disagree.
He
I think
is
something
not a
else is at foot.
President.
Well,
you
no, we didn't.
Acting like he is.
Well, we haven't. I mean, normal presidents, have not been the best thing for this country, have they?
I don't know. You know, I think Obama's the best president in the last 70 years.
I know,
but
you,
I know
do.
You don't agree with that.
I don't agree with you.
Look at the economy under him.
Okay, yeah, let's.
The stock market tripled.
What has the stock market done? What has the stock market done since Trump's election? How many times have we reached new benchmarks since Trump's been?
Once. Twice.
There we go. And he's been in office
for where we are now. We've lost the whole year of profits in the market.
Well, and that is accurate. My question is, why is that happening right now? And those that are saying it's because President Trump tweeted he's a terrorist man on Tuesday. That's like an excuse for a six-year-old, man. That's... Tell me y'all had no idea he was pro-terrorist before Tuesday? Shut up. Not you, Paul. I mean, just people saying that. Shut up. Really? All right, coming right back. Grab some more calls. A bunch of texts coming in here, too. It's Midday Mobile. We'll go to Unhappy News right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
To put down the Satsuma and resume the show. Man, these raided the Satsuma trees last night. Good stuff. Many great things about living on the Gulf Coast, right? It's just it's November, December, and you could just, your fingers are stained from the Satsumas. Also, Dalton, I was looking at the, I'm trying to spur the economy here, looking at one of the, I guess I can talk right now, the person that would be getting this gift is not listening, shouldn't be listening right now. So I was over at the ramen, like ramen noodle has a merchandise section. You can get the ramen noodle t-shirts and all that. And I'm looking at trying to get this one ramen noodle t-shirt. And they had the stupid sweaters for the dogs. You got one of those little dogs, and we got a couple of them that people in my household seem for some reason to want to put clothes on animals. And they have the Top Ramen and Cup of Noodles dog sweater. $40. So the actual food is some of the cheapest food ever, right? I mean, it's what I survived many a month in college at the University of Alabama on ramen. The food is incredibly cheap, but the stinking sweater that's for your dog logoed up with it, $40. A t-shirt for the people, the humans, it's $25. Maybe that's how they can keep the prices down on the food, just see. Make it all up in merchandising. All right, talking a bit about what is happening right now, another bad day. And I wonder how much, I'd like to hear from the pointy heads on this, how much of the big sell-off today is precipitated by the fact that they didn't get to do this on Wednesday because of the National Day of Mourning. And I'm no critique of the National Day of Mourning. I'm behind it. But market was dropping on Tuesday. Market shut down yesterday internationally. They traded, but not here. And then this morning started with this big sell-off. And then I ask this question, too. This disconnect between... It seems to be either it's a delay. We'll find out if it's a delay or a disconnect. Because, of course, I can only tell you anecdotally, but in my friends and people I know and y'all talking to a lot of people that the business is... the best it's been in a long time. You know, people are getting raises, getting bonuses. If people own businesses, they're doing better. But Wall Street, based on a bunch of other stuff and probably over-exuberance over the last, instead of pacing themselves, they're over-exuberance. Now it's sell-off time. We'll grab some calls on this. Tim is in Mobile. He's up first. Hey, Tim.
Hey, just wanted to, the guy that was talking about Obama's presidency earlier,
Paul.
I've just got to say, yeah. My experience was this. Before Obama was president, we had 21 employees. By the end of his presidency, I had one employee left, and he was part-time, and I was working the work that I would normally let somebody else do. I lost 35 customers, and we're talking big customers that would spend more than $1,000 a month with us.
Wow.
Over that period.
What kind of business?
We take care. We install security equipment, and some for the largest retailer in the world. At
okay.
one point, we were doing 13 projects at a time.
Wow!
And Obama hurt us. Obama nearly put us out of business. So,
what's it like
you
now?
Can say whatever you want about Trump. I didn't vote for Trump. I voted against Hillary, but I will be voting for Trump in the next election.
How's business now since 2016?
It's quadrupled. I now have 4 employees, and we're being cautious, just like everybody else.
Smart.
I'm still working in the field full time. in the next 10 years, I'm hoping that we'll get back to where we were before Obama.
Well, that's good. I think that's what I hear from so many people. Things have turned around. So, you know, when I look at your situation, Tim, or my friends or anybody who calls, and then I look at Wall Street, and I sometimes go, what is the disconnect?
Well, to be frank with you, I don't care about Wall Street. I don't have any money invested there anyway. All the money I have is invested in my own business, in my own people, and their training, and keeping them employed full-time.
It's a strong motivator, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's for sure.
Wall Street has no effect on any decisions I make.
There you go, Tim. I appreciate your call. I think Tim's case is more of what I hear than the alternate version, for sure. We'll get into the Shelby story if I get a second here, but I do want to make note, tip of the hat, my friend Andrea Ramey over at MyNBC15. Andrea, did you come up with that? Did you write your headline? Andrea, if you're listening, I know sometimes, if you can, just text me on my phone. Porch pirate? That, you know, we had the rash of people stealing stuff off porches, right? People had a story, kinfolk of Christian Jennings, who did TV here for a while. Now Christian's up in Atlanta, but getting some stuff stolen. Get like her wedding dress or something off a front porch. I think the story was something like that. She had stuff that showed up for a wedding, and then somebody came and took it off her front porch. And I've heard, you know, thieves and front door thieves and all this, but this may be the first time I've seen this in print. If this is yours, Andrea, it's beautiful, because the headline, Mobile Porch Pirate Steals Dress Ahead of Wedding. Dalton, we need to maybe put that down for our Alabamian of the List year nominee list. Porch Pirates. I like the alliteration. I like everything about that. I mean, other than the act, but I like the vernacular surrounding it. Which, by the way, too, we are still taking nominees for the 2018 Alabamian of the Year. This is completely ripped off from Time Magazine. Completely. No, I'm not pretending I came up with any of that. But we do it, and it's a lot of fun. And last year, we had so many nominees, and then we y'all put in the nominees. You put in the names. And it doesn't have to be for positive. I mean, it could be somebody you think is great for the state. That's cool, too. But it's that person, or I'll give some leeway to critters or things or groups. I mean, we're trying to keep it a person, but if it, you know, some movement, or in the case of the high-stepping turkeys that Governor Ivey talks about, we will let some other entries go in. But y'all do that. Right now, it's on y'all. You hit us up on the text line, 343-0106, with your nominations, and just put something on there like Alabamian of the Year, I nominate so-and-so. Or you can go to my Twitter feed at FMTalk1065, or Dalton's at Dalton Orwig, and just hashtag Alabamian of the Year and give us a name or a thing. You can also go to our Facebook page and do the same thing. So we collect all y'all's nominees, and then we seed brackets like March Madness, and then we all get to vote on it. Going forward, we'll have heat after heat. We'll winnow down the list, and then by the time we get between Christmas and New Year's, we're ready, and maybe even the beginning of the new year, we will award and crown the Alabamian of the Year. Now, once again, it can be negative, can be positive, just the person, thing, in the case of the turkey, critters, that most influenced the state of Alabama in 2018. All right, so the y'all's first part here is to put the nominees up, and then we get to vote, and then you can make your feelings known when you go vote, and we'll be doing that in weeks to come. All right, the Shelby story, I want to get this started here before we run to the news break, and we'll get an update from the markets. Uh-oh. That's coming up in a second. But Todd Stacey posted this up yesterday on Alabama Daily News, that Senator Shelby, one of the many senators to speak out after being briefed on the Khashoggi killing, right? And Shelby is quoted here saying, somebody should be punished. That's what Senator Richard Shelby told reporters after walking out of a closed-door briefing with CIA Director Gina Haspel about the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Let me point that out, too. Key words there. Thank you, Todd, for writing it correctly. He did work for an American company, but he is a Saudi national. Still doesn't make it. I don't think it just reinforces my previous beliefs about the Saudis. Like I said, I'm not a big fan. He said, and that's not everybody from Saudi Arabia. That's the people in charge. Shelby was one of a handful of senators in the briefing, most of who came away convinced that the Saudi crown prince, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, is responsible for the grisly killing and dismemberment of Khashoggi. Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Bob Corker said that if presented with the same evidence, a jury would convict MBS in about 30 minutes. Senator Lindsey Graham said there was no smoking gun per se, but a smoking saw, referring to reports that Saudi agents used a bone saw to dismember Khashoggi after he was killed in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. You think that was a handsaw or like a sawzall? Lindsey Graham went on to say, you have to be willfully blind to not conclude this was orchestrated and organized by people under the Crown Prince's command. Goes on here, Shelby says, but it's not that easy. He said, now the question is, how do you separate the Saudi Crown Prince and his group from the nation itself? So Shelby is one that's also pushing for some kind of further action from our country against the Saudis. And they are holding somewhat of a negotiation tactic and saying there's a lot of senators said they will not vote for any kind of funding bill going forward. In other words, what would cause a government shutdown, temporary government shutdown, unless they get something in return for some kind of added punishment or something from the White House against the Saudis. But yeah, so out of those senators have been speaking out, Richard Shelby is one of them as well. Talk about this and a whole lot more when we come back. This is Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Now, this is pretty cool. Friend Brian and the crew from Fairhope Brewing Company is trying to dominate both sides of the bay at exactly the same time. I like the attitude, Brian, because first of all, we're going to be out at 5 doing the charity bartender event, just like we did last year for the kids at Wilmer Hall. 100% of y'all's tips go to Wilmer Hall, so come out and tip graciously. Make it rain, y'all, out there tonight. So we'll be 5 to 7. It'll be Kelly and Dalton and myself out there pouring your beers. So, and if you want, I think Kelly pointed out they do have wine. If you have, I don't hate wine, but when you're at Fairhope Brewing Company, but hey, to each their own. That's tonight, 5 to 7. And also, dominating both sides of the bay, our friends at Cut and Chill Package are having a free tasting tonight with Fairhope Brewing Company. Also, Duclaw Brewery out of Maryland, Fairhope Brewing Company as well, tonight from 6 to 9. That's right there at Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Two great breweries, one night tonight at Cottage Hill Package. All right, here's, you've got Duclaw Brews out of Maryland. They're coming in. They've got their beers at the front bar. Their Sweet Baby Jesus Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter. Who gets to write this stuff? Dirty Little Freak Coconut Caramel Chocolate Brown Ale, and their Purple Passion Fruit Ghost Ale, and several more on that list. And then our friends from Fairhope Brewing Company are debuting some of their best out here. Their 51 Pale Ale, their Take the Causeway IPA that I truly love, the I Think Therefore I Amber, Cheap Sunglasses Golden Ale, one of Dalton's favorites, I like it too, their Judge Roy Bean Coffee Stout, their Hollywood Sour Ale, their Air Boss Johnson Sour Ale, and their Bayway IPA, plus an exclusive beer for Christmas, and something you can get there at Cottage Hill Package, Candy Cane Judge Roy Bean. I have not sampled that yet, but I'll have to try it. Samples are free, and there's always takeaways from those breweries if you want to buy a gift or something to have at the house, maybe for the weekend or a Christmas party coming up. And Cottage Hill Package Elves are ready to get you in the holiday spirit. Remember, you have not only this event, but you have the event coming up on Friday, tomorrow night, where you can get the etching done on your Jack Daniels bottle, which is really cool. If you're going to give a bottle of Jack Daniels, get your company logo on there if you want to give it out to clients, or you give it to friends, you can get their name on there or some kind of, you know, phrase or whatever. They're doing that etching for free when you buy those bottles of Jack Daniels out at Cottage Hill Package. Check them out online, cottagehillpackage.com. Make sure to like them on Facebook or Tastier Yet. See them in person at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. All right, a little bit more on this Shelby, the Shelby commentary, and then I will read through a couple of these texts. So Senator Shelby, one of the senators who was at that closed-door briefing with CIA Director Gina Haspel. And he comes out, he not as strong as you heard Lindsey Graham and Corker and others say, basically they're demanding some kind of retaliation against the Saudis for their vote going forward on arms deals, continuing to spend money, U.S. money, to help the Saudis in their war in Yemen. But Shelby's one of them. I mean, Shelby said somebody should be punished. Now, he did not say who should be punished, but how many people can be on this list? I mean, Shelby says that that's the question. How do you separate the Saudi crown prince and his group from the nation itself? This conduct that none of us in America would approve of in any way. So Shelby doubling down here. And what do you do? I mean, the Senate's passed a procedural motion to allow debate on a bill here. This is the bill that would back the Saudi-led war in Yemen. So they're doing, and this is Republicans. Remember, this is Republicans, that, and this is during a lame duck. And there's a lot of pushback going on here. Should the president do something more? Would you? Is there some pound of flesh that could be extracted that would meet a minimum demand there? I think it's worth asking. But yeah, Shelby, one of those senators, in on that. Oh, Dalton, you see this? We got a couple Alabamian of the Year, some new ones coming in here. When I say new, a lot of times we have duplicates, but that's cool. But this person said for the animals, we have had the turkeys, the high-stepping turkeys, but this person offers the alligator hanging out under Dolphin Island Bridge, the Huntsville trash pandas, and the bears in Saraland on their list. And then Supermom suggests the peacock. Supermom, I had forgotten about the peacock. Peacock. Remember all the peacocks? People would see the peacock in neighborhoods, and I think it once on Bitten Spur and seen the peacock around the city of Mobile. I have not heard much of the peacock in quite a while, but the peacock, absolutely, Supermom, that needs to be on the Alabamian of the Year list. This texter says, so the senators don't think other countries do this. What a crock. Just politics, I guess. You know, and we've talked about this, talked about it last week and the week before. As always, I find myself in between the two ends of this bookshelf. I absolutely agree with this texter. This is done, and unfortunately, things like this have been done in the name of our freedom, too. Okay, but it's done by many countries we trade with that are, air quotes here, allies or non-air quote allies out there. My problem is, and to unnamed texture here, is it was like our reaction after 9/11. Now, we couldn't absolutely, or we weren't told, there was absolutely a link between the government, the royal family in Saudi Arabia, and those Saudis that were hijackers that attacked our country. But they were Saudi nationals. They're back then, it was kind of swept under the rug. I don't know that, and maybe an investigation wouldn't have yielded any connection. I'm not one of these people, just because I don't feel there was a good enough investigation, I don't think that means it yields a connection to the royal family, but more should have been done, but it wasn't. We work and we're allies with countries that are not the same as us, and understand the strategic importance in Middle East politics and the fight against Iran that Saudi Arabia plays. I get it. Realize the player the Saudis are. They run the show at OPEC. I know OPEC is a cartel and they're all members, but come on. Some members are bigger than others. The Saudis are the gorilla in the room. I get all those things. And so some kind of knee-jerk reaction to immediately cut ties with the Saudis, I think, would be foolish. But like I've said in the past, when things like this have come up, this would now, if this is not an impetus with a measured and thought-out path to somehow separate ourselves as much as possible from these people, I think you have to do that. There are other countries you say have done it. Yes, the chances of the Saudis doing this again, I think, are high. Not this, but something of this effect, and something that is this public and goes the whole way to the top, at least what it seems like. So yeah, you would be foolish if you went ahead and, yeah, so on the text line, I don't remember this much noise when Obama and Hillary left Ambassador Stevens to die in Libya. I could be wrong. I will say this. There's probably this much noise about it then, too, as there should have been. So I agree with you on one front for sure. But you got to separate yourself. The Saudis are not for the long-term interest of our republic. If we could be neutral, in other words, we don't lose anything in the oil. We don't lose anything in the Middle East influence. And I don't know how that happens. You know, maybe we let, like I've been saying for a long time, the Kurds become an autonomous nation. They like us a lot. They're pretty cool. let Jordan annex Syria, make them a bigger country. Those are both allies. We replace the Saudis with them. Whatever it is, I don't think you do like many are crying to some immediate knee-jerk reaction to the Saudis, but over the next 5 years, decade, two decades, are we a better place if we can keep things as they are but not be so allied with the Saudis? Worth talking about. All right, coming back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile.